Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Arizona Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support. Welcome, everyone, to the Arizona service. And we have a special guest. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Good to be here.
It's great to have you.
This is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice, and be glad in it, This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, that the Lord has made. This is the day, that the Lord has made, I will rejoice, and be glad in it, This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, that the Lord has made. Devil's gonna do. The word and faith is my sword and shield, and Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's gonna do. The word and faith is my sword and shield, and Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's gonna do. The word and faith is my sword and shield, and Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the King. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the King. Lord, hallelujah. Oh, I don't care what the devil's gonna do. The word and faith is my sword and shield, and Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Oh, Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. The Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King.
From the rising of the sun
to the going down of the same, my Lord's name is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my Lord's name is to be praised. Servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore.
From the rising of the sun to the going
the same, my Lord's name is to be praised.
From the rising of the sun
to the going down of the same, my Lord's name is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord, praise all you servants of the Lord. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great King.
Lord, to wait.
mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as he goes. Shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to
morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be here. It's nice and fun, and we're having a lot of learning curves going on. Sue and I are working on a project, a sewing project, and I'd forgotten how much fun it was to sew. But I actually, it's been a challenge too. But I know the Lord can get us through it, and He is getting through it, us getting through it. And in the process, we're learning, and it's a wonderful thing. And I wanted to go to read a little bit in the Word here. And I looked at a lot of different places today, but I think that I'm ending up with Philippians 4. I'm going to start with chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I've been thinking about this kind of thing this week because rejoicing in the Lord always brings joy to you. Rejoicing in the Lord and getting your eyes off yourself. We sang a song. It was Isaiah 40:31. I'm looking at
Ricky. I don't
Ricky.
Know them by scripture.
Okay.
Usually not most of them.
Okay, Isaiah 40:31. We've sang that song. They that wait upon the Lord.
Oh, yes. Okay, that one.
That is, I think it's Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So those that are serving the Lord are going to get that joy. They're going to get that. There's no feeling like joy. Joy isn't a feeling. It's just way, way better than a feeling. And those that wait on him will renew their strength, and they'll mount up with wings as eagles. That kind of just popped into my head that we sang that song as I was talking. And it goes with this, because rejoicing in the Lord is serving him, and serving him is rejoicing in him. And let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So your moderation is not being allowed to your flesh to get you all upset. Be moderate, which means being a thermostat and not a thermometer. A thermometer goes up and down and up and down. But when you're a thermostat, you're staying at that level place where you need to be. And have faith he's there in every situation. He is there. Everywhere, if you're looking to him and you're his, he's there with you at all times. The Lord is at hand. He's right at your fingertips whenever you call upon his name. He wants to bless us. He loves us. He died for us on that cross. And so put your mind on him and not on your own things. And it says in 6, be careful for nothing. Don't fear. Don't be unbelieving. Now, I struggle with this at times, maybe most of the time. But the Lord is showing me that he's here with me. And when you don't fear and you're unbelieving, then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You'll get that peace of God when you do these things and rejoice in him, keep your eyes on him. No matter what happens, like Phil was just saying a few minutes ago, no matter what your day looks like, you have that peace with God, and he gets you through it, and he blesses you beyond what you can ask or think. And I praise the Lord for his wonderful, wonderful love and long-suffering and patience and kindness toward me and those others in that also have shown long-suffering and kindness for me. Because, boy, when you look at me, oh, golly gee, I need long-suffering. And when I'm given that, that is that wonderful love of Jesus. And it's a thing that we receive and we pass on to others. That's what the Lord will have us do. And serving him is what he will have us do. So let's do that. And I praise God for all his mercy and grace upon me. I'm done.
We're not done yet.
Okay, I was going to sit down, but I guess
no,
I won't.
Not.
Never
you
mind.
You can sit down and sing.
All
That's
right.
fine. She's dancing over here. You guys can't see it. Go back to Blog TV and we can get everything. We can have the cameras up. That would be fun. Well, maybe not so much fun.
again. I pour out my heart, for I know that you hear every cry. You are listening. When I humble myself and submit to your word, you are faithful to answer with words that are true and a hope that is real as I yield to your voice. You bring a freedom to all that's within in the safety of this place. I'm longing to pour out my heart to say that I love you. Pour out my heart to say that I need you. Pour out my heart to say that I'm thankful. Pour out my heart to say that you're wonderful. Again, I pour out my heart, for I know that you hear every cry. You are listening. When I humble myself and submit to your word, you are faithful to answer with words that are true and a hope that is real as I yield to your voice. You bring a freedom to all that's within in the safety of this place. I'm longing to pour out my heart to say that I love you. Pour out my heart to say that I need you. Pour out my heart to say that I'm thankful. Pour out my heart to say that you're wonderful.
Of the Lord,
in the sight of the Lord,
humble yourself. morning, everybody. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 to 13. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When I was in discipleship this week, or last week, whenever, I was talking to my disciple about the struggles we go through on a day-to-day basis and how the struggles don't seem to change. The same attitudes I had 15 years ago, I seem to still have. The only difference is I no longer choose to side with them. If I have an attitude towards my husband, if I have a self-righteousness towards thinking I'm better than my husband, or just an attitude about he asked me to do something and I have an attitude about it, that is not changing. That is still there. However, if I choose to give into it and to hold on to it and to let it fester and build and cause a division between us and cause it to grow, then there's no change. But the difference is when you recognize what it is, you recognize that shortcoming, and you can choose not to side with it, not to agree with it, to put it off. That's your choice, to put it off. And in reading this, specifically verse 13, it stood out to me. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It doesn't say he's come sinners to perfection and suddenly there is no struggle anymore. It says sinners to repentance. There's no time like the present to repent for your shortcoming, to recognize that you are not who you think you are. You are not good. There is no good thing in you. To recognize that you are not what you thought you were, and to be willing to receive that and accept that, and then trust the Lord and repent for those shortcomings, for those failures, for your weakness, and to stand in strength in His strength and to move forward by His faith, because it's not by what you do. It's by what He has already done. We all have baggage. We all have crap in our lives that we have to get through. Some of the things seem small, some of them don't. But we all have baggage that we need to lay aside, cast off, and choose to walk in Him, in His ways. Repent. The time's at hand for you to repent. That means you ask forgiveness. You recognize you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And then you turn from those ways. When they try to come on you, you turn from them. You put them off and you turn from them. You no longer choose to give them place. There's no time like the present. If you think you are such a failure and such a sinner that you cannot be saved, it is a lie from the pits of hell. And you don't have to believe it. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's every one of us. There's no time like the present. You don't know how long you have. Do it now. Turn now. He's a gracious, merciful, loving Father, and he's waiting for you to turn now.
Upon the rock, now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love you. I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. Taking me from the miry clay, you set my feet upon the rock. Now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end.
Good morning, everyone. So I have a question. It's not really my question. Years and years ago, we were at a revival in Berlin. And Brother Davey asked a question, and it was along the lines of, you know, do you want to go to heaven? And, you know, people say yes. Do you want to go now? And people will go, crickets. That wasn't the exact question he asked, but that was the inference. And this is a question I want to ask you. Do you want to go to heaven? There was a man in my office back in South Carolina, and he asked me a question one day, and he said, or he made a statement about, I don't know if I want to go to heaven, because if it's standing around singing all day, I don't know that I want to go. Wow. And that took me back. I mean, that really sort of set me back. I didn't even know how to respond to that. And I prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, how do I respond to that? And the Lord actually gave me an answer for him. So I called him up and I said, I have an answer for you. If you have ever experienced the presence of God, then you know there is no greater place to be. And if in heaven you are in the presence of God, there is no greater place to be. And his answer to me was, well, I guess I've never been in the presence of God. Which was astounding, because I started to relay a story to him of a time at a different revival where we were down in the backfield in Vermont, in Northfield. Let's see if I can hold it together here. And there was a crippled man in the audience. And we were praising God, and we were singing, and we were experiencing the presence of God. And that crippled man got up and came down and gave his life to the Lord and praised God. And that was Charles's father. And the presence of God was so palatable. I'll never forget it. I hope to God I never forget it. You know, the crazy thing was the guy who told me he doesn't know if he wants to go to heaven was actually there for that. He said, I remember that. And I'm thinking, oh my, how can your heart be so calloused to not have experienced that? To not have witnessed and realized the glory of God that was present. And how would you not want to be in that every single moment of every single day? You know, right now, my heart goes out to Brother Paul. And I want to say something to you, Paul. It's not long but you'll be standing in the presence of your Savior. Don't be afraid. That presence of God that is so wonderful. You're going to beat me to it. I want nothing more than a miraculous deliverance for my brother Paul and for him to walk out of that hospital whole as a testimony of the greatness of God. But it takes me back to a story of three guys who stood before a king and they said, our God is able to deliver us. But whether he does or whether he doesn't, we are not going to bow down and worship this, your idol. And they said that we will be delivered of your hand. When I think of my brother Paul, who I love dearly, there is victory in Jesus. And either way it cuts. See, that's the beauty. If you know Jesus, right? That's the beauty of it, you see? Because either way it cuts, you win. Either way. You win. I mean, do I want to go to heaven? Yeah. Do I want to go now? Yeah. You know, I want to go whenever it's time for me to go. The Lord's obviously working on me, and he wants me as ready as I can be before he takes me home. And he has a work for me to do here with my family and whatever. And as long as there is a purpose for me to be of his glory here, I want to be here. But the minute that there's an opening and I don't need to be here, Lord, take me home. And that question that was asked us back in that revival in Berlin, you know, yeah, I want to go. And I don't want to go in presumption or, you know, you understand what I'm saying? It's not that like it's some airy-fairy. I'm terrified at some level because I know me, but thank God it's not about me. It's not about, am I good enough? We all know that I'm not. But Jesus is good enough, and we live by his faith, and we trust in his ability, so that all that nonsense is irrelevant. I can trust in him. And I was around in Vermont when another dear friend of mine and of the ministry and of the Lord, Brother Warren, went home. It was sad, you know. But he's with Jesus, man. I mean, how's that a bad thing, right? I know it's a topic that we don't talk about a lot. It's not something we go, but really, every single one of us, every single one of us are going to stand before Jesus one day. And he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Or he's going to say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. You know, the reality of that event is certain. They say, you know, the only thing certain is death and taxes. No. The only thing certain is that you're going to stand before Jesus Christ one day. And let that day be a happy day. Let that day be a day where he says, enter in, my good and faithful servant. And the key to that, believe Jesus. Trust him. The one scripture I've been rolling around in my head this morning, let me grab it real quick. In Ephesians chapter 2, I'm just going to read a couple of verses. It's verses 8 and 9. Paul says this. He says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Your salvation is a gift. Amen. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. You don't pay for a gift. A gift is given and it's received. You see, you have to receive that. Receive it. Receive the gift and redemption of Jesus Christ that is outstretched to you now. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The world will tell you that, well, a lot of churches will tell you that you go to heaven if you do enough good things. And that's just not true. Because there's no good thing you can do that's going to repay the debt you owe. Amen. It's impossible. That is specifically why Jesus shed his blood for you and for me. Because the debt was too big for any other way. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. It's an interesting scripture you read this morning, Sue. God died for the unrighteous. He came to save those that were sinners. It's a gift, man. Receive that gift and be saved.
Your grace is all I seek. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me.
Listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.